Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so glad to have you with us tonight, as we are every Tuesday from 7 to 8:30-ish p.m. Join us tonight as we begin with prayer, scripture, mark it if you get a scripture, and we'll be talking tonight about the false prophet. We'll be closing that and beginning the martyrs. So with that, we'll start off with prayer. We'll listen to a song. We'll have scripture, and we'll do intercessory prayer. Join me. God, we come before you. We just thank you so much for all that you've done. We ask that you lead, guide, and direct us as we go into this study session tonight. We just pray that you would walk with us and talk with us, and Lord, teach us everything that you want us to know. We sit at your feet tonight as we are looking at the study of Dr. Jeremiah's Book of Signs. We've talked about the judgment seat of Christ. We've talked about rewards. We've talked about worship. We've talked about tribulations and the four riders, the Antichrist, oh God. And now, Lord, we're ready to talk about the close of the false prophets. Help us to thoroughly understand this, oh God, because it's really important that we understand the role of the false prophet as it impacts us. We ask that you be with us tonight and guide us. In the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Let us all say, amen.
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 So we're going to have a song, and after the song, do you have scripture, Margaret? We'll play
yes,
the song then.
2 Thessalonians, no, chapter 2. 3-4.
Awesome.
Because of who you are, I give you praise.
Amen, amen, amen. We'll now have amen. Our scripture, then we'll have intercessory prayer.
The reading comes from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed either by a spirit or spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. The word of the Lord for the people of God.
Amen, amen. Amen, amen. So at this time, we're going to have intercessory prayer. Is there anyone who would like to lift up prayer or has prayer concerns or prayer or praise reports? Is there anyone that has praise reports or prayer concerns? Well, this is Dr. Susie. I want to lift up a prayer request for Dr. Nooks. He is declining. He may not be with us very long. So...
Dr. Susie, this is Margaret. I'd like to praise the Lord and thank him for keeping our Bible study going for many years. How many years has it been?
Has 16. It been
16? I was going to say 15. That's just
16.
It's a miracle. It wasn't easy to keep it going this long, and I praise the Lord that he has kept it going and that we're able to speak with our heads lifted up, and we're alive, we're walkie-talkie, and I'm just praising God today. I'm thanking him for all his blessings upon
Amen.
The people of our Bible study and upon the people of the world, the opportunity of salvation that still exists, and the Lord gives it freely. So I'm just praising God for all those wonderful blessings he's put upon us.
Amen, amen. Is there anyone else who is...
My name's Laura.
Yes. Hi, Laura.
Hi,
how are you?
Laura, and I was calling to give a praise report. Some years ago, I was in a terrible accident, and I was on a breathing machine. And in a rehab facility, I was on was unable to walk with, I had to use a wheelchair as an assistant. And I thank the Lord that I don't need the wheelchair anymore. I don't use the walker.
Amen, amen.
I didn't use the cane. And I was on I had several internal injuries and I had a bad reaction to the medicine, and that when they was giving medicine to me for pain, I had a reaction to it. And each time they was giving me some, it was lowering my heart rate down, so, and it's up my blood pressure. And I was in some areas, in some incident, I was bottom out because I was dying. And I thank God how...
Oh, mercy.
They found out that I was allergic to the medicine, and I thank God that he stepped in, and I couldn't have been dead, but he allowed me to live, and I give him the glory.
Amen. 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 We praise God with you, my sister. Are you able to walk now? Or are you getting better? Or
I'm starting. I'm walking. I'm out of the wheelchair to walking. I go and go to the stores and different things on my cane. The Lord has revived me.
Praise God. Mm-hmm.
And I'm so grateful to the Lord that I could have been dead. When I went into the emergency room, they didn't know that I was allergic to the medicine. And one of the doctors saying I was bleeding on the inside. And I said I was telling them, Hello?
Yes,
I was saying, you said
and
you were bleeding on the inside.
Yes, and he was telling me that I told them to put me on the breathing machine, and that they don't know how I knew to do that, and I don't remember telling them to do that. I said that was nobody but the Lord, and the Lord took me and brought me there, and I'm alive today because of his grace and mercy.
Praise God.
Amen.
I yield back to you all.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise God for that. Ooh, what a testimony to the goodness of our Lord and Savior. Well, are there any other prayer requests? I think, you know, we need to lift up a little bit for our Bible study members. Eric, asking for prayer for Eric, and that he is needing prayer for his wife and the information that is related to his brother or uncle, actually, who just recently died in the work that's involved with that. And we also ask prayers for his whole family. Also, Miss Shirley. Shirley is kind of gotten super busy with her church, and they've asked her to assist them because of the struggles that she's having. And so as a result of that, she's trying to do a lot to help her church. It's small. They've lost a member. So it's really important that she's trying to help it survive at this point and do, you know, what it needs to do. And she wants us to continue to pray with us, and she will be back when she can. But she's asking for those prayers of support. And I did talk to Britt. Britt's out of town, so he's asking for prayer as well. He's been gone for some time, and he's asking for prayer. Has anybody else heard of anything else? So it's been Britt, Shirley. Jerry, I haven't heard from Jerry. Are you there, Jerry?
Yes, I am. Hello, everybody.
Hi,
okay.
Jerry.
Hi.
So how's Laura? How's Laura doing?
She's doing pretty good. Ended up having to go down to one job. She was just too tired. She was working two jobs to try to make ends meet, but she was able to get down to one job, and it's making her feel a lot better. And she said she's hoping to try to come on and start listening again with us. So that'll be good.
Tell her we miss her. So we will lift her up about her job. You think that'd be all right if we lift her up so that she can get some rest and move to her job? Is there anybody else who you'd like to? Is there anybody else who you guys would like to? Did we leave anybody else out?
How about Mateo? How is Mateo doing?
Yes, Brother Mateo, yes. He said that he will come back and join us as soon as he's able. Right now, he's gone back to work, and then going back to work, he's struggling, and because he's trying to, you know, stay, you know, he's just now recovering. So we're asking, so we just need to pray for his strength and continued healing. And Eric, we said that, and we don't have anybody else who's actively a part of us at this time. So we will go on with that prayer list, unless there's someone else who has a prayer request. So, God, as we come before you, we just want to praise you. We want to, first of all, give our praise reports for Laura and how you have been God all by yourself and how you've chosen to lead God and direct her and empower her, oh God, to be a vessel of testimony for you of the goodness and the greatness of God. And we just thank you for her testimony. And, Lord, we just ask that, you know, she would be able to participate with us and enlighten us and share with us the gift that God has given her of study so that she can participate and share with us. And we're kind of a panel of people who try to witness and share the good news so that others can know you. And so that's what we're asking, that you would grow us, oh God, that you would bring people to the study so that they would have this passion to seek your face, passion to do your will, passion to be your people and a vessel to which others would get to know you. And then, Lord, we, after praising you for Lori, we want to lift up our other Lori. We praise you for our other Lori who's been working tediously trying to take care of Ian's and asking that you would bless her and strengthen her so she can come back to the Bible study. We miss her tremendously and ask that you would continue to watch over and keep her. And then, Lord, we, you know, want to thank you for Eric and his wife and his family and his, Lord, help them as they grieve over the loss of his uncle and how he misses him tremendously. We ask blessings for Shirley and the strength of her working with her church. You know, maybe she can sneak over and spend more time with us again. We pray for Brother Mateo and his head injury, that it would heal and be strong and that he would have strength. And we pray for Mandy, his wife, as she continues to nurture and care for him. And then, Lord, we pray for Britt as he is traveling and he needs travel mercies. We also want to lift up right now, Dr. Nix, Lord, you know everything about your servant. He has preached, taught, cared for your people, nurtured them, been with them, provided for them for as long as he can remember, even as a young man. And so we're just asking that as he is transitioning to be with you, that you make that time, that place smooth, oh God. That you make that smooth transition for him so that he can sit at your feet and celebrate the very thing we all want to do. And then, Lord, as we go through our study tonight, we just pray for the Bible study. We pray that it would be strengthened and that enemy would not be able to tear it down or destroy mm-hmm. us or make it difficult. We're just asking, oh God, that you would watch over us because there are some who would like to destroy us. And so, Lord, as we go forward, we just ask that your grace and your mercy would be with us and that you would protect us. In the matchless name of Jesus, we lift this prayer and we trust you in your mighty name to watch over us. Amen.
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 So as we go forth tonight, I'm going to do a little roll call, making sure I have everything, the people here. If I miss anybody, I've got Jerry, Margaret, Laura, and myself. And there are a couple of people on the line that are quiet. So for those people who are on the line, if you feel like you want to talk, you're more than welcome. If you don't, just enjoy listening. And whenever you feel comfortable, we ask that you feel free to say, to join in. So a little bit of etiquette. As we are in the studio, we try not to use any types of speaker phones because that creates conflict in the studio, echoes and things like that. We also ask if there's barking or noises or televisions in your background that you would make sure you would keep your phone on mute because we can hear the background. And if you choose to talk, that you would either turn those appliances, that equipment off so that it won't be disturbing our audience and we can hear you when you choose to speak. We are really excited about everybody being on board, and so we ask that you join us and help us to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so with that said, is there anything? Oh, and ask if I say thank you, brother or sister, like two or three times, I'm trying to encourage you to cut it off. So, you know, don't let it go on long, because we're at the end and we only have a few minutes, and that would be why we do this, so that we could get through with the invitation and move on. So just trust my leadership, and because we want to hear from everybody. So if I'm cutting you off, it's only because we're trying to move the program forward, not because we don't want to hear what you got to say, because we do. We want to hear everything that the Lord's putting on your heart. So tonight we're going to be talking about the false prophet again. So for those of you who would like to start to talk, Jerry, are you here? Do you want to tell us a little bit about what you got out of last week's lesson? One thing that kind of stood out for you? Yes.
Yeah. I just think that he's going to – it's funny how I guess that people think that, you know, we're not going to be able to notice when Jesus comes and when the false prophet comes, because when Jesus comes, everybody's going to know about it. But it talked a lot about that the false prophet's kind of going to, you know, come in slow and like a lamb and things like that. And that's one of the things that the devil does, is when he tries to imitate what God does, it's not necessarily exactly what God had said, because we know when Jesus comes, he's going to come on the clouds where everybody's going to see him, whereas the false prophet's not going to be doing that.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Anybody else want to add to last week?
Well, this is Margaret, and there was a couple of things that we studied in the Book of Signs, and it was about the false prophet's, his profile, as Jerry mentioned, that he came as a beast in a lamb's form with horns and spoke like a dragon. And he describes him as an evil-natured man, and he's kind of an idol. He becomes an idol who appeals to the masses and who's deceptive and crafty. He's a political persona, and he's also a religious one, has religious passion. So he's very charismatic. And then they describe his profile and then his purpose. And Satan will use the false prophet as a part of his own unholy trinity to imitate God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And then it discusses the power of the false prophet, that he receives his power from the Antichrist.
Right.
And the Antichrist receives his power from Satan. And then
that's kind of in comparison to that of the Holy Trinity, that's the unholy Trinity.
Exactly.
So the same parallel is that of the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and then God in that same order.
Yes. And then
yes. He
has a program, according to Dr. Jeremiah, which he describes it as that the false prophet will encourage worship in the non-Christian religions and dilute Christianity, and then compel all to worship the Antichrist. So he'll have cornered politics, religion, and then his power will escalate.
Yes. You know, do you all remember where it says there was a place in the Bible that says where we can look for the Lord to return? It said that I'm looking for
the day of the Lord, or
when Christ returns, it's near, it says that we can see him coming at, like, in the area of the Mount of, not the Mount of Olives, but that was where we should look for him. Where was that? Anybody remember that?
Was it the Lamb and the 144,000, Revelation chapter 14? Then I looked and behold on Mount... Oh, I'm sorry. Was it the Lamb and the 144,000? Then I looked and behold on Mount Zion stood the Lamb,
yes,
and with him 144,000 who had his name and his father's name,
no,
written on their... Not that one?
No, it's a scripture, and I'm going to have to find it. I was just thinking about it, and I brought it up, and it was fleeting me exactly where it was, but I remember, and the reason why it was important to me is because we were talking about Christ's return, and we were talking about the difference between Christ and the enemy, and how the enemy will mimic. And we talked about how it was someone that talked about how the false prophet will have fire that comes down, and he will be mimicking Elijah. He'll, you know, with Elijah's methodology. And so the idea that the false prophet mimics. And so we were told that we need to understand that we don't run after the prophets, because Jesus said there would be many prophets. So we needed to know exactly where Christ will return so that we don't go around looking to say, oh, could that be Christ? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
the scripture tells us where he is supposed to return. And I was trying to, you know, I was thinking about that right when we said it. And I'm going to be honest with y'all. My brain is fried. I had a long day. I was the only one at work.
Oh,
and so... Mm-hmm. Y'all going to have to help me today, because I don't remember that. Does anybody have any idea where that was? If not, I'll bring it back next week. You know, I'll go and I'll look forward, and I will have it. I don't know if it's around Thessalonians or not. But I'll look forward and see when it is. And maybe while Margaret is talking a little bit, I may be able to run it down as well. But so one of the things we wanted to talk about was the close of the false prophet. And so did anybody have anything in particular that they wanted to pick up out of the chapter? Did you have anything, Margaret?
Well,
go ahead.
Well, there was also the scripture verse in Revelation chapter 13. We really did focus on that quite a bit last week. And
right,
verse 13, the false prophet will perform great signs, just as you said, even making fire come down from heaven on earth in men's sight, and the false prophet will imitate Elijah's miracle of fire.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I think Bishop was just getting ready to talk about the mark of the beast too. And so after his death and satanic resurrection, right, we talked about how that would happen. The Antichrist is going to assassinate, it says, the leaders of three countries. And all other nations immediately relinquish their power to him because they're afraid. And so then he sets himself up for worship in the temple, in God's temple. Listen, to be worshiped. And this is what he always wanted to do. Remember, we kept saying, Eric kept reminding us that he wants to take away the praises from God. He wanted to take away the worship from God. He wanted to steal souls away from God. So not only does he feel like he's doing something, because he's not only taken over the synagogue, he's actually set himself up in the place of worship to be worshiped by all the people of the world. So, and the way that he does this, of course, this is an abomination, but the way that he does this is he mandates, because people are afraid of him and they're worried about their survival, because you can't do anything. You can't buy, you can't sell, you can't go to the store, you can't buy gas, you can't, you know, exchange food, nothing. You can't do anything without the mark of the beast, and it has to be on your right hand or on your forehead. And this is, remember, Christ or God has it where his people will be sealed, the 144. Now, his sealing of the people will be for their good, but the sealing for the Antichrist will be for the purpose of destruction. You know, if you don't do this, there will be torture, there will be evil, there will be hatred, there will be pain, because he's going to behead people, he's going to kill people, they will be martyred if you do not accept. And so people being afraid are don't want to be martyred, so they're going to go along with it. But little do they know what they're trading off, what this is going to cost, because this is going to cost them life away from God forever, and that they will be in the lake of fire with the enemy for the rest of eternity. So that is a big cost. And so so that final act of rebellion against God, where he sets himself up in Jerusalem and he desecrates the rebuilt temple, and what is called the abomination of desolation. And then he tries to annihilate every Jew on earth. Lord have mercy. So this is the note that precludes right before the Battle of Armageddon. So, but we know in this war, it is some heavy stuff. And you know, I kept thinking about it today. I kept saying, does anybody in a 539 number, do you know anybody in 539 that might be trying to get in?
No.
So I wanted to share with you that I'm kind of distracted, forgive me. So somebody's trying to get in on the 539 number, and I'll see what I can do to let them in. But what I was trying to tell you is that what kind of baffled me is that with the Antichrist, what was I thinking? I was thinking about, so when the rapture occurs, you know, we as Christians will be caught up in the air. But remember, the scripture in Revelation talks about how the souls under the altar, do you remember where that is, Margaret?
Yeah.
Or the souls under, could you read that? It talks about the souls under the altar. And those are the Christians who are saying, Lord, how long? How long?
Okay. Just one second. I have it. It's on. These martyrs are believers who will be killed after the church is raptured and the dead in Christ have been resurrected. The fact that they will be slaughtered for their faith and taken into heaven while their murderers still thrive on the earth gives strong evidence that they will be martyred during the tribulation period. These souls under the altar will apparently be converted Jews. And so it is, I thought that was a difficult chapter or part as well.
So the Revelation's passage that he reads about, let me read it for us. He talks about how the, let's see, it's, here it is. It is
Revelation 6:9-10.
Yeah, I think that's it.
You want
I'm
me to
looking for
let's see. Want me to read that?
Go ahead, if you have it.
Yes.
I'm
Revelation
still looking. Go ahead.
Chapter 6, 9-10. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain
yeah.
for the word of God and for the witness they had borne. They cried out with a loud voice, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?
Yeah, that was it. And this is where Dr. Jeremiah makes a point. He says that it's right after the rapture that the people that are under the altar are the ones that are saying this statement. And because their desire, right, is to be redeemed. And he says, Lord, how long is it going to be? And those, he says, are the people who, I guess who they become are the ones, you know, we're already taken to heaven. So those Christians are taken to heaven. But these are the people who are martyred during the time of the tribulation. And so that gave me another understanding. That meant that these people are going to accept Christ after when they get another chance. They get another they will get a chance to accept the Lord, and it's those people who accept. And that was in the study of the false prophet. You know, and that was a big deal to me because, you know, I kept saying, oh, my God, I thought everybody was gone that, you know, that accepted the Lord. And then when he said that these are the people who were under the altar that had been martyred because they would not take the mark. These are the people who were martyred because they would not do that which the Antichrist or the false prophet tried to get them to do. So they are the ones who will be beheaded and martyred and killed. And so... So, you know, like I said, I just want to go the first round. I want to go when he comes and picks us up in the air. First go around. So, Jerry, what do you think about that?
About the taking under the altar, you mean?
How do you feel about that whole scenario?
I'm kind of like you. It's funny because I was just reading about that last night, a little bit about that. And I was like you. I want to make sure I go up in the first time. I don't want to have to go through and, you know, be martyred. If I have to, I have to be martyred if Jesus doesn't come. But I want to go up in the first round. For sure.
Amen.
Well, this is Margaret. I just wanted to say that today it came to me the thought that if there was some dear loved one that had not turned to Christ, especially a child, I think I might even want to stay to try to convince them.
Oof. You mean so they grow up and can have knowledge? Because,
yeah,
you know, that's the whole point is that they're young and they're... And the Bible, I got this understanding. Laura, what do you think about this? I had this understanding that those who rejected Christ, that they are at a different place. These are not those same people. These are, like you were saying, a child that may not have accepted. But I don't know that it would be a child because I'm wondering, you know, there's an age of accountability.
That's what I was going to say.
And so a child might just be taken anyway because they aren't the age of accountability.
They would go up.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
so,
I've been thinking.
But there may be somebody. Yeah.
But also, like the Israelites, I had such a revelation one time years ago. Why don't they get it? What is wrong with them? Until I really looked at it and saw that these were people that were aging through different generations, and the new ones didn't have a clue. How are they going to learn? I mean, the literature will be there, the Bibles exist, but who's going to teach them the way we were taught?
Yeah. Can I say something?
You mean if we're gone? Absolutely.
This is Laura.
Laura.
My mind went back to in Jeremiah, Ezekiel, how when Joshua them had gone off the scene, how these generations of Israelites, they didn't want the old way. They want something new. And that's where we are today.
Amen.
Some people don't want to endure sound doctrine. They don't want to repent of their sins. They don't want to go by what thou said the Lord. And then how they take their own definition of things, the way they see things are. When now, sister, you here, let me give you an example. Okay, now you told Sister Laura, you got to get right of, you got to repent of your sins. Jesus can come any day now. Get ready. Repent. Oh, I don't need to repent. I haven't done anything. But have you repented? I don't have to repent. I'm telling you all this, but you're telling me a way out, that Jesus had made a way for us. He letting us know to repent of all of this. Put down your idols and all of these things. Okay. Y'all gone. Now the Lord came. Now he left me here. And then I'm kind of running and say, oh, God, oh, God. Then the Lord remind me, you had the opportunity to repent. When sister gave it to you, witnessed to you, that was your opportunity. Anytime that we witness to the Lord, to anyone, that's out their opportunity. And that's why the Lord gives them ample time to repent. And he letting us know that he's going to come. He letting us know that the Antichrist, he letting us know that bad is coming, but he letting us know that we have a hope in him if we do it now. We can't. That's why he said he did not give his son, an angel, the day of time that he was returning. Because if he gave them saying, I'm returning Friday, they have dropped everything and go, instead of repenting before Friday, they are waiting till Friday. And the Lord just not giving them, he giving them ample opportunities to get it right. But it grieves us when we talk to them, they don't hear us. They lean to their own understanding. Okay. I'm through.
We got you. We got you. And you're exactly right in that youth today and people today, because they were not raised in a time where they fully understood the language even of repentance or the language of what that means, and they had no affinity for it, then it makes it harder because, as you say, they're wax cold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was even thinking about, Miss Laura, my children. You know, I regret that in trying to move my children into a place, a community that would be nicer than the one I grew up in, I made a big mistake because my children don't have what I had. I had the ability to talk about when climbing up the mountain, children, and I had the song that, you know, Precious Lord, you know, take my hand, lead me on. So when I'm going through rough times, I can reach back. And, you know, I remember my grandma saying, call him up, tell him what you want. You know, songs like that that come to me now. Now, when I was young, no, I didn't pay no attention to that. I ain't gonna lie. It wasn't no, oh, that's the old folks stuff. But as you get older, you want to let, you know, you understand what he was trying to say, or what they were trying to teach about calling him up. But so that relationship and the words and the culture, they don't have it anymore. And those who do have it are far and few between. And so I feel guilty myself because I was not able to be effective in ingraining that in my children so they have that to hold on to pull on when they're slipping or times are rough. So and so I imagine that this new generation, when we are taken from this world, when the Holy Spirit is removed, they won't have that because this world will be evil. And so, you know, Dr. Jeremiah says, he says, statues have even been common for the commemoration of great events, but what greater event in Marvel has ever occurred than that in the history of this man, in that he was wounded to death and yet is restored to life and activity, and yet with far sublimer qualities than he possessed in his first life. And who will there be among the proud sons of the earth to stand against such arguments? So, you know, as Margaret was saying, is that the Antichrist wants to mimic Christ in that he was wounded to death and was restored to life. So all of this is faux. All of this is an imitation. It makes it seem like it was like Christ, but it's not. It's the unclean Holy Trinity. Everything the enemy has seen in the Lord, he's trying to mimic. And as he mimics, we see the difference between the unholy Trinity and the real Trinity. And so that's what we saw last week as we looked at the false prophet, as we looked at the fact that I think Daniel spoke, when you see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, then he says, let those who are in Judah flee. It says, let them flee to the mountains, for there will be great tribulation such as not been seen since the beginning of the world. And so we already talked about how he will conjure the image to breathe and speak. Now, this was interesting, how he conjures this image. And I was reading about that and listening, and it actually says that a demonic spirit will actually inhabit that image. And the image will be as if it were real and come to life. It's not like the animation that we have today with robotics, but it will look like an actual alive image. And so, you know, that time is going to be a time that's very challenging. And so that's how we see the end of the false witness, and the false prophet.
This is Margaret. I just wanted to say one thing that struck me was that we talked about what is a prophet last week, but we didn't say the one thing and that was in our chapter in Dr. Jeremiah's book, that a prophet is not a prophet of God unless he preaches judgment. And that just struck me as so profound and true.
And whatever it is, we got to remember last week, it will come true. Yeah. There's foretelling and forthtelling. But that which is a prophet of the Lord will come to fruition. Yeah. It will come true. So we talked about the program of the false prophet, right? It says that, what was his role?
His program was to encourage worship in the non-Christian religions, to dilute Christianity and compel all to worship the Antichrist, and to manipulate
right.
politics and religion together to draw
yeah.
all
and
under
so when he does that. And have you not heard people today talking about how we need to just all get along? I think
mm-hmm.
it was the Pope who was actually trying to tell people that they needed to all get along. So when we get these people who all get along, what that does is water down Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
Because what it does, it makes it seem as though Christianity is equal to these other things, and therefore syncretism can occur, meaning that people will mix what they want,
mm-hmm.
you know, just like sometimes they mix meditation, Zen Buddhism with Christianity. Or
mm-hmm.
they may mix a lot of different things with Christianity. And then, therefore, the things that are contrasting would make it even more watered down and diluted so that there would not be a real distinction between the different religions that are being practiced. That's the goal.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That is the goal. So,
and then I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Laura. Were you going to say something?
I'm sorry. No, she was talking.
No, go ahead.
I was thinking about how the Bible tells us when we see these things coming, we have to draw nigh unto the Lord. And the Lord let us know that there are going to be signs and lying wonders. And they're going to see many. But when and then in John, it talk about the Antichrist and what they are performing. But the thing about it is, we as believers, like you said, that God is not going to let us fall into the crack. He got us, but it's the unbelievers and the ones that the Bible already said that the lukewarm and he going to spew them out of their mouth. You can't be straddling the fence in this. You have to have the Spirit of the Lord. And what you're saying is all good. I received it. That's
mm-hmm.
enough. But I enjoyed this.
No, that's good. That's good. And so what we find is after we talk about the punishment of the false prophet, what's going to happen? So at the end, we know we're going to have Armageddon and God's just going to wipe everybody out, right? But
mm-hmm.
it's talking about the punishment of the false prophet, where the beast is captured with him, the false prophet who works signs in his presence, by which he deceived those people who received the mark of the beast and those who worship the image. They were cast where? Where
into
are they cast?
The
into the
fire.
Lake
and
of
brimstone.
Fire. So what is brimstone, y'all? What is brimstone? I have heard people talk about brimstone all my life. What is brimstone? Anybody know? What is brimstone? It's this term that's synonymous with sulfur. Brimstone.
Okay.
It evokes the acrid odor of sulfur. Remember how when people are talking about demons, they say, oh, we smell sulfur.
Mm-hmm.
When they talk about evil, they smell sulfur. The sulfur dioxide given off by lightning strikes or lightning was understood as divine punishment in the ancient religion associated with sulfur, fire, and brimstone. So when the Bible talks about that, that's talking about, you know, how that image of acrid odor of that volcanic activity,
mm.
that sulfur smell, that,
mm-hmm.
it just sounded to me like it was very powerful and painful. I don't know. But when I heard that, it just like, okay, so we need to understand that this is a different type of fire. So fire and brimstone with the sulfur smell, the evil implication of the demonic. So, but that's what they're going to do. all of them going to be in the lake of fire burning with, and I wonder, and it makes it clear that the lake of fire is so hot that it's tormenting. It's obviously nothing comfortable, but it's that of torment. So with his power and his influence and all the things that happened, it's going to be his days are cut short, and God will speak out and say, you know, it ain't going to happen. And the false prophet, it says, will drink of the wrath of God. Ooh, I don't want to ever think about drinking of the wrath of God. And it says that he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels. Woo! And in the presence of the Lamb forever and ever and ever. And woo! Y'all, that sounds deep. That's deep.
It is deep.
And I don't want to be associated with that. So when you hear that, to me, it tells me I don't want that. And it's what it says that at the end of the Antichrist regime, they will be plunged into eternal death. I want to be with the Lord, because those who've taken the mark of the beast, they're going to be in there with them. Have mercy.
Oh, yes.
John says, I saw thrones and they sat on them and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast, had not received the mark on their head, and had lived and reigned with Christ. Hallelujah. For 1,000 years, the 1,000-year reign. And that's what heaven is. Heaven is being in the proximity of our Lord. That's heaven.
Praise God.
Being with God. Hell is being away from God. Not being able to be in God's presence forever. But we who are Christians, we are called to a life of commitment to the one who loved us, hallelujah, enough
Amen.
To die for
Amen.
Us, who loved us and decided that he would give it all for us. And the time is now. He's sending the clarion call. You need to be ready. That's what these Bible studies are about, telling people you need to be ready, and that we have to be committed. We have to understand that we got to choose to be on the Lord's side and not to fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Woo! Hallelujah. So we're going to... That's deep, y'all. So, Margaret, you want to just open us with the idea of the martyr? We got about 10 minutes. If you want to just kind of open the kind of give us an image of what the martyrs is going to be about when we talk about that next week. Well, first of all, is there anybody have any more questions about the prophet? Can we go on the past the false prophets? Are we all good?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Margaret.
Okay. Well, we start out looking at martyrs throughout history, and especially in February of 2015 when ISIS kidnapped and decapitated 20 Christians on a beach in Libya. And
so what's a martyr?
It's just a martyr is one who dies confessing that they believe in the Lord God, our God.
And so we have to give those definitions because we got people in the audience that don't know.
Mm-hmm.
A martyr is someone that dies for their belief.
Yes.
Yes. And so her example was the 20 Coptic people who were killed for their belief. Go ahead, Margaret.
Yes.
I was just trying to get the definition so they could follow you.
And then the entire history of redemption has been written in the blood of the holy martyrs. He talked about the Jewish persecution throughout history. From the very beginning, the Jews have been persecuted and died all the way through Hitler. And of course, in our false prophet study that they will be persecuted again during the tribulation, those who remain. And then he spoke about Christian martyrs. The Roman Emperor Domitian executed many Christians who refused to renounce their faith in Jesus Christ. And
uh-huh.
Roman Christians were fed to lions. Well, John tells us there are still many Christian martyrs to come who are persecuted and afflicted by the Antichrist during the tribulation period. So, well, I mean, that's something I feel compelled to pray for them. And then
yes.
It discussed in Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 to 10, when the Lamb opened the fifth seal, the souls that we discussed as well that were under the altar. And Dr. Jeremiah said that the martyrs are believers who will be killed after the church is raptured. So that was kind of a shocker for me, and I had to look at that.
So I had a question when you were talking about the people who had been kidnapped. Why
mm-hmm.
were they kidnapped? And I remember
well,
they were saying
they were upset
about the people in Guantanamo Bay.
Right, and that they were executed wearing
opposing.
Orange uniforms to
we have people in Guantanamo Bay that they felt that they
yes.
had mistreated?
Yes, and that they executed these people as a kind of a political statement. Yeah, vengeance. So,
okay.
And then the martyrs will be slaughtered for their faith and taken into heaven, while their murderers
mm-hmm.
still thrive on the earth, and that's why they were complaining. And after the rapture of the church, God will focus on Israel again. Paul writes in Romans chapter 11, verses 25 to 26, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And then God will seal 144,000 Israelis from the 12 tribes of Israel to evangelize their people during the tribulation. What a difficult task that will be. Martyrdom will be an everyday thing in the tribulation period. Even in the face of certain death, believers will proclaim that they love God more than their own lives. Jesus described terrible suffering of the tribulation period in his Olivet Discourse, which is in chapter 24 of Matthew, verses 9 and 10. Then they will deliver
uh-huh.
you to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. And then even John describes in the beginning of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 9, I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. So that's what it's all about, confessing, learning the word of God, taking it to heart and giving testimony of Jesus.
So what comes to mind when you guys think of this, the martyrs?
They are holy.
Sherry, what do you think about the martyrs?
I think it's going to be a horrible time for them. They're definitely going to be tried and tested. for their beliefs. It's going to be a terrible time for them, but I think it'll make them stronger in the long run because they know that for what they're doing, they're going to be rewards in heaven for it.
Amen.
It to me, when I think about the martyrs, it reminds me of the early martyrs like Perry, Polycarp. Polycarp was one of the old saints, and they burned him to the stake. And he spoke out. I mean, he was, you know, speaking in support of our Lord and Savior even then. Mm-hmm. So people will continue to speak out against that which is wrong, even in the midst of their being tortured, because he was burned to the stake and he kept talking.
Amen.
He kept preaching, basically. And so I think that's really important that we understand that this is the martyrdom is not a new thing. We've got historical studies of people who were martyred for the cause. And so this is something that is repeating itself again to extremities. And that seems to be what the enemy likes to do. And I think that's because it creates fear.
Yeah,
I think it creates fear. So I remember that I was trying to get you guys to look at something. If you will remember or look up, the Bible says after the tribulation would come in the heavens, he would return to the earth with the great sound of a trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way he left the earth in the clouds, he will return to the earth through the clouds. Mm-hmm. But there is a place that he tells us to look. And I wonder if it is, and that's really bothering me that I can't come up with that before I get off the text, but do you all remember also, it has to do with the Mount of Olives. When he answered the question, can somebody read, it's during the Olivet Discourse. I'm going to have to look that up. But I remember he was saying that that he would come somewhere near the Mount of Olives when he gave his famous Olivet prophecy about his return. Do y'all remember that? So I'll have to look up, but I'm sure it has to do with the Mount of Olives.
Is it Matthew 24?
Won't you read it and see?
Oh,
I don't know.
I'm trying to find it.
We got a few minutes so we can see if we can find that. Here it is. I think this is it. It says, in King David Day, the summit of the Mount of Olives held a place where God was worshipped. And yet that same context revealed the rejection of God's chosen King David who crossed the Kidron Valley. And then it was saying, but the history that occurred on Mount of Olives does more than tell the story of rejection. It speaks of redemption and one day of the ultimate acceptance of the King. The triumphal entry. Jesus presented himself to Israel as the Messiah on the very day prophecy predicted when he rode his Jerusalem on the back of the donkey. And then he said, during the Olivet Discourse, after leaving the Second Temple for the final time and pronouncing judgment against Jerusalem, he sat on the Mount of Olives with his disciples and explained prophecy that anticipated his second coming. And he ascended. After his resurrection, he gave the Great Commission to his disciples and then ascended to heaven from the Mount of Olives. And the second coming is the place of his going. The place of his going will be the place of his coming. That's where I got it. Just as Zechariah predicted the first coming of the Messiah who appeared on the Mount of Olives, so the prophet foresaw the second coming of Christ, whose feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. Okay, so that's it. The Mount of Olives is where he will return. So if we see Christ around the Mount of Olives, we need to think that that's him. So if we see him over in Russia, that most likely is not Christ. Right.
Yes. Amen. Amen, sister.
Have mercy. Have mercy. So let's close tonight. Lord, we come before you, and we just ask that if there's anyone who may have heard the Bible study tonight and there was something in their spirit that asked, Lord, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be prepared so that I don't have to encounter the wrath of the false prophet? What must I do so that I don't have to be martyred? What must I do, oh God? And the Bible tells us this, that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that the Lord Jesus Christ died for us and rose again and ascended at the right hand of the Father, that he will, when we die, we too will rise with him as we have joined him and have accepted him as our Savior. So if you have done that, if you have confessed, if you have believed, if you know that Christ is the Lord of your life and for you, then believe me, we are celebrating with you tonight, for you have accepted the Savior and you belong to him and you are his child. So what we ask you to do, if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, is that you get involved in a Bible-believing church, and that you continue to study and get baptized in that church, and you join with us at Love Connection and continue to study God's Word. So as our brothers and sisters in Christ, we celebrate you tonight. And if you'd like to, we'd like you to send your name in and let us know that you accepted the Lord. And you can do that by sending it in to drsusie.loveconnection@gmail.com, drsusie.loveconnection@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. And if you have any other questions you'd like us to entertain next week, please feel free to send that in. We are so grateful that you've joined us tonight. And as always, if you want to call in, we're here every Tuesday from 7 to 8:30-ish p.m. And we ask that you call in at 646-478-4932. Bring somebody with you, and we'll join us next week at your Connection Bible Study at 7-ish. We look forward to having you with us, and we look forward to you bringing a friend. God's blessings be with you.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.